Do you wake up a hater every morning?
Why is that a hate? Why is that a hate?
Every morning? What did Indianapolis do to you?
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
There he is. There he was, at least. Number 87, Reggie Wayne, soon to be in that Colts ring of honor. Giving me the business. What's Indianapolis ever done to me, for me? It's shown me nothing but good times. I matriculated down in Indiana University, 45 minutes south of Indy. And it was wonderful, including the Super Bowl there a few years ago. But, of course, it's gotten me drunk. It's fed my belly. It's filled me with joy over the years. And anyway, I do encourage you, Nate Demand, you go back and listen to that episode with Reggie Wayne and James Jones, two of the best pass catchers of the 21st century. And we figured it all out. We figured out win, play, show, the three best quarterbacks of the last quarter century. We did the same with wide receivers. In fact, I think we went five deep there. And as a bonus, they weighed in on who the best running back they both have seen in their lives. And what's further, the best part of it is those two giving each other the business about their respective quarterbacks and whether or not they had the Mamba gene. Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting. Peyton doesn't have the Mamba gene. Oh, no, Rodgers doesn't have it. Back and forth. Great stuff. Anywho, hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are here in Studio 66. I think we're going to have a great fun here as July 4th fast approaches here. Perhaps you're even listening to us while you're on your July 4th vacation or before or maybe after. Who knows? Anywho, thanks for checking it out. Make sure you also check out Good Sports on the Adam Carolla Show every day and Dave's of Thunder available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Very funny, if I do say so myself. It's really not me being that funny. It's the other guy, David Feeney, who's the funny one. Anywho, to the here and now, let's go around the wheel here. You know him behind the glass where MVP now sits. We've brought him out to sit here inside of Studio 66 to share all of his hooey and applesauce with you right on the hot mic. Here he is. It's Eddie Spaghetti. What's the poop, fella?
I hope Em is not too upset that I traded seats. I usually I'm co-piloting the show from behind the glass. Now I moved onto, you know, the very cool studio.
No, don't worry about Emma VP. She's off. She's not even actually producing the show right now. She's making videos for her very successful broadcast.
Yep.
Which I encourage you to at Broadcast Podcast. Make sure you track that one down because Emma VP and her pal Tamposi are doing good stuff there. And also seated in between Spaghetti and myself. Spaghetti, of course, is the our resident New York Giants fan. I suspect he's in store for a disappointing 2018. But more people than not disagree with me and do believe in Saquon and Odell and everybody else having a big year there. Of course, I'll be the bummer in the room. Look at their first seven games and tell me how they're anything better than 2-5 there. Meantime, no here he is all the way. Well, I guess we'll get to know him right now. This is what I like to do. I'm not a particularly talented person, but the one thing I believe that I'm good at is I feel like I can say, like, Emma VP, she's a great writer. I only talked to her for 4 minutes, but I can tell I like her. Same with Spaghetti. Same with many others here at NFL Media. And now Kibitzin in the commissary a couple of weeks ago. I like the cut of this guy's jib. It's Martin Weiss. What's the poop, fella?
Thank you for having me. It is an honor to be on the DDFP. I appreciate it.
Listen to that voice. You're already leagues ahead of me with that voice of yours.
I mean, you are the most podcasted man in America, so your podcast's ahead of me. So let's get this voice
in terms
on
of
some
quantity.
More
you're right. Yes. In terms of quantity, at least I am the front runner.
I mean, I had to turn off the notifications. So,
so welcome. So tell us. So what's your NFL team?
New Orleans Saints.
Wow. I like the Saints. Where do you hail from?
New Orleans, Louisiana.
So you're from New Orleans.
Yep. And then after Hurricane Katrina, I moved to Detroit, and there's no way I was going to become a Lions fan. And especially once I started working in the business, I got too close to the Lions, and it was just, I can't ever.
So you're still a Saints guy?
Yeah, I'm going to be a Saints guy till I die.
The Fleur de Lis. And then do you have a college affiliation?
Yeah, University of Michigan.
So you do like that
team. Yeah, like based off this shirt. Yeah, this is what it's referenced to,
It extends into the hoops. Yeah. Oh, look at that. He's R-ing us. Oh, me and we. I like that. I like the we and us. You're allowed to do that.
I only do it for my college because I paid a lot of money to go.
That's fine. You know what? Do it with the Saints, too. Don't listen to these very serious sports guys who tisk the athletes. Oh, you never played for the team. Yeah, I did something better for him. I've been rooting for him for the last 3 decades. How about that?
About your very serious sports guys. Yeah, the TO ranking from the top five. I know both of the guys in here are like receivers and have knowledge. That's ridiculous.
You don't think T.O.'s a top five receiver
in
the
Super
Bowl era?
I think they had him much too low.
Oh, you're kidding.
I'm saying when they went with the ranking, I was just waiting to hear, you know, T.O.? I mean, how is he not like the second best receiver of all time? But that wasn't your opinion. That was theirs. And I'm not here to talk.
I don't care. I'll tell you my opinion. And guess what? It kind of lines up with theirs. And then I want to hear yours. Mine goes – I got to go Jerry Rice right now, although there is a real push because, I mean, it's not just in the last year or two. For the last 5 or 6 years, it started out as a surprise, but now I hear it over and over again. Guys who were in the league with Rice and Moss will tell you more often than not, oh, no, Randy Moss was the best ever.
That's the problem.
Because he was sort of uncoverable.
And see,
that's why T.O. gets outshined, because you have Moss. That's the reason why he gets pushed down.
And I hear that. But every time I hear, like, and I was listening to the one you said, Nate, demand, go back and listen to, I was hearing Randy against Dallas in Thanksgiving, just go up and get it. Long ball, best tracker ever. He never fell when he caught the ball. And, you know, Jerry Rice, the way y'all talked about him was he was really good at getting open with two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And I didn't watch Jerry Rice play. So all these, like, arguments of, you know, top five of all time, I don't really have an opinion on guys who I didn't see play before. So I base all my opinions off how other people rate them. And that was just how it came off.
Oh, my God. Are you young? You didn't even see Jerry Rice play?
Wow, I mean, no, I saw Jerry Rice play, but, like, when I saw Jerry Rice play, I saw 49er Jerry Rice play, but I saw Terrell Owens break, like, the single break, whatever record it was. I can't remember at the moment. But on Jerry Rice's, like, some monumental game for him.
Well, it's funny with Jerry Rice, and like I said on that episode, is it's hard. The numbers are what make it for him. That's why you can't. It's hard to really conjure a really good debate if you're strictly looking at career statistics. I mean, he blows everyone out of the water with that. It's funny, though, because for all the big games he played and all the big the huge games he had personally in the biggest games for the 49ers over his career, and even for the Raiders, he was good. Like, you can't even forget that he had some had a nice little run with Oakland, too. But the highlights are not as viscerally satisfying or awe-inspiring, I guess I should say, compared to Randy Moss and T.O. and probably Megatron even.
I mean, last week I saw T.O. on Twitter run a 4.5 40, and then yesterday heard two guys in here saying T.O. didn't have speed. Like, T.O. still got speed. So that's why I just had to take some –
I agree. The knock on T.O. is that he dropped him. He dropped. Well, that's not the knock. The bigger knock on him is that he worked his way out of more than one locker room with his with a sourpuss. But in the grand scheme, the hate on T.O. is a little weird here in the 21st century when we have actual evil people out there.
I think a lot of people are mad that he did his Hall of Fame deal. And because, I mean, if you're a football player, you would think, of course I want to be in the Hall of Fame. So, I'd imagine, not to speak out of turn because I've never played NFL football or football in general. Mm. But I just would imagine that if you reach that pinnacle into a place where, especially if you're, like, on the border, you'd be like, man, I want to be a Hall of Famer so bad. Like, that's what I'd imagine you'd worked for that whole time.
Oh, he desperately wanted in the Hall.
I know.
He's just not going to get the gold
jacket. Doing that whole back and forth with the Hall of Fame committee and him being, and then now saying he won't be there, I think that has a lot to do with why.
It's contrived by the media. It's like these columnists who just hate him because they've heard stories that he was awful in the locker room. So they're like, oh, well, we don't want to vote him in. So he's just kind of flipping it back on them. I actually – like,
it's not them hearing stories. It's their first person account.
Well, sure, that too. Yeah.
He wasn't nice to me. He didn't talk nice to me in the locker room, so I'm going to use the power that I have over him and not give him a vote. Who are you disgracing, him or yourself, by not giving the guy a vote when you know he's clearly one of the best?
If you got 11 on 11 and I only have two wide receivers and, you know, the rest of the nine are just war-level players, I would like Terrell Owens on one side and Randy Moss on the other. And
it's a good way of looking at it.
And I can't think of anybody, like,
Well, for me, as I keep pushing, because I like to be early on these things so that I can claim that I was the first to say it, just as I did in 2010, I said, you know what? In a couple of years, everyone in the world will be on this bandwagon. Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback in the history of people. And now everybody says that. And I say Antonio Brown, by the time he retires, he'll be a top three all-time wide receiver. But anyhow, Spaghetti, yours.
I can't disagree with what you just said. Maybe Megatron. If like Moss and Megatron on both sides, just because of the physical, I'm kind of like Dave. Like where you see the guy and you're like, oh man, like that guy's 6'5". I believe it was like James Jones was saying how they put two corners on him, like it was like a punt return, like he was a gunner. Like
but
that's
then
ridiculous.
They said that no one's ever done that, but they did it against Odell Beckham in that Green Bay playoff game.
Sure.
But, I mean, I'm not to say it's never been done.
Jimmy Graham is seeing that, Tony G.
I listened to it, like, intently with the preparation on today because Eddie said be here at 11, and that was it. So I didn't know what we'd be talking about.
You were here at 10:45, as a matter of fact.
I show up on time, buddy.
We met downstairs.
I don't respect that move.
We just met downstairs a little bit ago, and I think you'd appreciate this story. He goes, you know, with a name like Eddie Spaghetti, I would assume that you were fat. And I was like, well, it's pretty accurate. But
couple more pounds, right,
I mean,
MVP?
I'm getting close. Emil.
Right now we'll call him Husky.
Husky. I thought I was being trolled in a slight way because I saw him and I seen like the other people from the show interacting with him. But I was like, I know Eddie Spaghetti's not his real name. And his Twitter is his real name. And his real name is also the name.
Eddie Murphy. It is. Yeah.
So
well, Edward,
I'm like,
but, yeah.
I'm like, who? So this guy is Eddie Murphy. Or Eddie Spaghetti. I was like, why would you just be Eddie Murphy?
Because I don't want to have to explain at the top of every show when I refer to him. I don't want to have to say this. Now, just to be clear, this isn't the acclaimed comedian / actor. This is a different Eddie Murphy.
It's obvious that he's not. obvious that you're not fat. So.
No, well, yeah, I thought it was a funny introduction downstairs in the break room. So that was our first interaction.
I thought so. You're
off to a good start.
Yeah.
So he's not, by your estimation, at least he's not fat.
Not yet.
On his way, though.
I mean, I don't know the man.
Fingers crossed with July 4th on its way.
I'm crossing my fingers. I got to stop. I'm bad. Going on a bad path.
Listen.
Yep. He's been indulging a lot lately.
It's summertime, you know?
Yeah. Getcha.
A lot of holiday ice creams and pies and wieners and fries, you know?
Tons of wiener.
All right, so listen, I want you guys to talk about what you want to talk about, and we'll kibitz about it.
Well, I had some either ors, I'd say, because if this is your first time to the DDFP, you, Dave.
It's not for me.
I'd imagine, but some people maybe. My first time was not too long ago, but I've enjoyed it since.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you. So that's nice, MVP.
Yeah, I like that.
No, I didn't say he had to say that,
no,
but he did
really
it anyway.
Well, if I didn't enjoy it, I also would have said I didn't. So
is that true? Would you really say that? No jive is the policy.
I probably would not have said my first time was recently then. I would have just avoided it. But
I've never missed a second of the show. Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said that and then been like, oh, what was your favorite part? Oh, the part where it goes off, you know?
Oh, I wish we had our DDFP quiz handy, MVP. Then we could find out if this Martin Weiss is jiving us. But anyway,
last
go ahead.
Last 2 weeks, I'd be good.
Go ahead. Go ahead with your either or.
A fantastic Steelers fan, so I thought maybe if we play some other players, like either Pittsburgh Steelers in other places or players from other places in Pittsburgh, how their careers would be different.
I love that game because we talked with Reggie Wayne, and he advocated for Marvin Harrison as the third best wide receiver of the Super Bowl era. I think he had him third overall, and I thought that was a little high. Marv is one of the top seven, eight guys to me, but that's a little bit much because of, I guess, what you're getting at here, which is I don't think that Marvin Harrison would have the kind of career that he had in Indianapolis if you threw him outside. Mm-hmm. If you said, go play in Chicago with a range of QBs that go from pretty good to downright subpar. I think 18 certainly helped his career greatly, but more importantly, playing in the climate-controlled dome was big for him.
So my first one is your beloved Ben Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. If he was in Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers was in Pittsburgh, which franchise would have more Super Bowls?
Wow, I like this question quite a bit. Or I'm intrigued by it.
Which franchise would have more Super Bowls in the time that Rodgers
I hear you. And, you know, it's funny. I up front, I will say that as I've pointed out, it's a little weird. If you're a Packers fan, for the last 25 years, for a quarter century now, you've had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, and save the possible, what, the injury year for Rodgers last year, mm-hmm. and the year that Rodgers took over, he had a good statistical year, but it was uneven, and so maybe. But outside of those 2 years, they've never had worse than one of the three best quarterbacks in the NFL, and they only have the same number of Lombardis as Dilfer and Flacco in yeah. Baltimore have. That's got to be weirdly upsetting. Spaghetti, your answer here.
The Steelers with Aaron Rodgers would have significantly more championships than a Roethlisberger-led.
Significantly pack. More. You understand think, they have two,
well,
right?
Almost,
they went to three.
I'm also saying that – well, no, comparing the two teams. The Steelers are just a talented roster, more talented roster, I think, offensively and defensively. I think, I mean, with having Rodgers, maybe, you know, I just could do a little bit – they're similar styles of play. They can both extend plays. They're both mobile, been more, not as much as they used to be. But I think that if you put Rodgers with, like, Brown, Bell, and even pass receivers, and then just the defenses you guys have had over the years, which I don't think the Packers' defense is nearly as good as the Steelers.
Absolutely not.
They would – yeah, I think they'd win a lot of rings.
That's it really is fascinating, and maybe it comes down to – it's overly specific because you don't know the trajectory of those two teams when they meet in 45, but it basically comes down to that game. Mm-hmm. If you flip the QBs mm-hmm. on the two sides, who would have won that game? Would Rodgers have won that game? I think he would have because Roethlisberger wasn't especially good in that game, mm-hmm. and Rodgers was electric. I mean, that's
what Aaron Rodgers have saved us from some of Tom Brady.
Boy, I do think as a side note that it's a bummer that we're right on the cusp of not ever seeing that in a major game. Remember when they played each other a couple of years ago? It was mm-hmm. as satisfying as you would think. It's disappointing that they've been on the path to facing mm-hmm. each other in Super Bowls at least a couple of times and it hasn't come through. We're never going to get to see 12-v-12. You know, it's a bummer a little bit.
A lot
bit.
Of people will be talking about it this year, though. Apparently Green Bay is the team to beat.
I know. I don't know that I buy that the – well, I mean, how can I – I'm about to say I don't know that the Patriots are going back to the Super Bowl. How can I have that doubt at this point? But I guess since I just said he's the most talented quarterback in history, I have to say Rodgers would have won more games. But I do think Roethlisberger is certainly made for Lambeau. Right?
Okay.
I mean,
sure. I mean, we're arguing like the best of the best here.
And so. I also and they do have – I mean – to look at them side by side, they aren't terribly similar, but in plays in style of play,
yeah.
I do think that if you have receivers, Randall Cobb comes to mind up in Green Bay, and Antonio Brown, Santonio Holmes in Pittsburgh. Those, if you have receivers that are fluid enough, in improvisation along with the QB, I think Rodgers, you know. Those guys know how to take advantage of a quarterback like that can extend plays. Mm-hmm. It's a tough question. All right.
Well, I got another tough one.
Rodgers has more the Steelers. Well, and they do in real life anyway. They have more Lombardi.
That's why I was – come on. Don't do that.
They have wait a second. I'm not going to denigrate seven here.
I even said when I set it up, well, in the quarterback's lifespan.
All right, but they have two rings.
I tried to avoid all of this. I'm sorry, MVP.
We should have started with Roethlisberger.
Do they have more?
Always goes down this path.
The question is, do they have more over the last 12 or so years with 12 under center than they have with seven? And I think you're right. Maybe they have three.
They do.
Although, just one more thing about
it. Oh, my God.
That last 2 minutes against the Cardinals, I don't know how many guys pull that one off and make those throws, including the game-winning throw.
Rodgers
greatest
is,
play in Super Bowl history.
Rodgers is a better version of
Are you attempting to say that you can't imagine Aaron Rodgers making a Hail Mary or a last-second throw to win a game?
Touche.
I thought that's what I heard, but I don't know. The translation may have been bad in the headphones.
I don't like the sass. There was a little bit of sass in that back and forth.
Rule number one is no jive, buddy.
It's no jive, but you know, I think between the lines, it's like accept with Dave. You know, please feed
the fine print that
please feed his
that,
vanity.
That must be what who he means.
Okay, go ahead there, right. Martin Weiss. Give us the second.
DeAndre Hopkins switched with Antonio Brown. Would Antonio Brown have the same four years that he's had?
Boy, you're asking. Now that's a second one. That's the same. Those guys are so similar. Like Julio Jones versus Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins and Antonio Brown, in my book, are the two most QB-proof receivers in the league.
But that's why I asked if they're similar. I mean, because Ben Roethlisberger, all right, if Antonio Brown is QB proof, is that a slot of Ben Roethlisberger? Because Ben Roethlisberger has been his quarterback for his majority of his career, where DeAndre Hopkins has had like a Cleveland Brown-style list of starters.
Of bums, I get it.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
So that's why
spaghetti,
I want to know.
AB
returns punts and you know, play that into it if you'd like.
I agree that Brown is the most QB proof. I also think Brown is a smidge better than everyone in the league right now, but also DeAndre Hopkins included. So his numbers wouldn't be AB numbers in the Steelers.
Like, will we still say Antonio Brown is like?
No, I think like, he'd be closer.
I think AB is the second or the best quarter, best receiver.
Hopkins wouldn't be what Brown is now. But Brown would be more back to earth and kind of in the same realm as back with, like, you know, Beckham and Julio Jones. I think that's what happens. It's a slight change.
I think the answer to me is that they would basically flip roles. Antonio Brown would still be dynamite. He'd still be QB proof. He'd still put up big numbers if he were in Houston. DeAndre Hopkins would be a star. I don't think AB would have 125 catches with Tom Savage or T.J. Yates.
That's kind of where I'm – because I think – well, the reason I asked is I think DeAndre Hopkins is the most underrated receiver in the NFL.
I think that's
true. Yeah.
Well, it's neck and neck in terms of where they're regarded versus where they belong. Keenan Allen's the other one. Keenan Allen, you can make a case, is right behind Antonio Brown.
I've come around to Keenan Allen a lot.
It's just because he's not as fast as some of those other guys.
Part of it, honestly, I don't like Phillip Rivers as a football player in general, and I know that goes against. But I don't like guys who yell and lose. Like if you yell and win, I'm here for it. But if you yell and lose, well, that's not.
Like, it is a little embarrassing.
Lose quietly. You know.
Yeah, I hear you. It's kind of like I like when that extends. I liked when Mario Williams was with the Bills and he was playing. I think it was a Thursday night game, and it was a game that they kind of needed to win if they were gonna make a playoff push. And he went out there and he had those red
contact
lenses on, so he looked like a demon. And then they lost by like 20 points. And the cutaways to him on the sidelines late in the fourth quarter, it was like, all right, this is a bad loss. Now it's embarrassing. Now you've lost your dignity because you look like a demon who's getting whipped by the Miami Dolphins. You're a demon who's getting housed by Ryan Tannehill. That's not good.
Doesn't look good. Don't throw three interceptions and then be yelling at him. Go inside. It's
like, I hear you. I like where your head's at on that one. But yes, I hear you on the underrated status. Just because you're a Pro Bowler and you're held in high regard doesn't mean you're held in high enough regard.
And that's where I'm at. DeAndre, I mean, he just year in, year out, no matter who, I could throw him the ball and he would go crazy. At least that's what it would seem. My third one is not as good as the other two, in my opinion. But Todd Gurley over instead of Le'Veon. Because I think you're going to say, they're the same player. They would just switch spots.
No, I don't.
Already doing
impressions already with that?
Not soon with the impression, but it was good.
Emma VP, do you want to do yours?
Hello.
Okay.
I mean, I was told to make myself at home. So
I don't know who gave you that, but that was not.
That was our second interaction.
Spaghetti, you can go first here.
I think out of the three, that Le'Veon is the best, most like he's the least affected out of any of them. So I think that
I think so too.
Yeah, I think he by far is the best. No matter what team he's on, he's arguably like the best player in the league in terms of talent, what he could do. If you put Gurley, I mean, Gurley had last year was great. This 2 years ago, put him on the Steelers. I mean, I don't know. Gurley would be roughly. I think he had a better year than he did 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So his career overall would be better. I mean, he was an MVP candidate last year.
Right.
Le'Veon, I still think is Le'Veon Bell.
That's kind of
I don't
why
think
I didn't
he changes
put,
at all.
Gurley's body of work doesn't.
Well, he had the great rookie year, and then he had the great year three. I think he would dominate behind that Steelers offensive line. You know, that's a powerhouse gang there, and there are whispers that some people don't like the way the 26. I do think if, you know, the Patriots, it would seem when you watch them, they struggled to stop the run in 2017, and so Le'Veon had a big game against them. But still, you can see those teams that pursue the backside well will catch. He does like to
– when he's doing
that patience
little,
that
little,
is so highly praised. There are times now, if you watch the way defenses are planning him, they're chasing him hard on the backside, and they are catching him sometimes. He does get – I want to say it's cute in the backfield, but they are catching him and tripping him up here and there. I think Gurley would be great behind what is one of the five best O-lines in the league. Bell with Sean McVay, at least.
Well, the Rams line's pretty good now,
and
too.
And see, that was kind of the trouble I had, because the Rams post-Jeff Fisher are so different that I didn't want to – that's why I didn't like it as much, because we keep going back.
Bell, I mean, Bell on a Jeff Fisher team still would have been Bell.
I like that take.
Yeah. I think that's right. Yes, Le'Veon, the value of
I think
a banger.
That we can leave that Le'Veon Bell is Jeff Fisher-proof. Not many players are.
Oh, I like that. That's the tiebreaker there. I mean, listen, I said Todd Gurley while he was at Georgia, I think in his sophomore year. Everybody loves to use the phrase. It's overused to the point of cliche and to the point that it has no meaning anymore. It's like, that guy's a generational talent. Do you know what that means? It means he is the best player of the generation at that position. I said that guy is the generational running back. And he's kind of paid that off. I mean, yeah. We can make a case that Le'Veon Bell is superior. I think or David Johnson,
sure.
Or Shady McCoy maybe even makes that conversation. Whoever else
he's in the mix.
Getting. But yeah, Le'Veon Bell.
Shady McCoy is in the DeAndre Hopkins underrated level to me. I feel like I don't feel like I just, maybe it's because he plays in Buffalo, but like, I haven't.
It's because people decided that there's a combination of some of his off-the-field stuff, the fact that he isn't shy about talking about his opinions about the team that he's on and stuff. Serious football guys don't like that stuff out of a guy named Shady. And and there have been a couple of down years, but it was decreed, literally, if you go back and dig up some pieces online, there were people 4 years ago, it was like, yeah, Shady's best days are behind. Mm-hmm. He's done. And he continues to thrive, and people have a hard time being pushed off the spot that they have assumed. I decided Shady was done in 2013. Like, are you watching him, though? Because he's not.
He's quite good.
Yeah.
Quite good. But, yeah, that's what I got. So
I like that. That was a fun little a fun little batch. You denigrated the Steel. I don't know if you denigrated the Steel.
I just wanted to see if I could see where you're – everybody's got a price. I want to see where yours was. Is it Aaron Rodgers? Because I said
barely.
Phillip Rivers, I don't think so. Yeah, I think
barely Aaron Rodgers.
I went Aaron Rodgers.
I know.
But listen, I want it to be made clear, though, because talk about underrated. It's already underrated. Roethlisberger's career. In fact, when he.
You know, it's funny. I
you know how I feel.
I do the same thing at home.
Oh, I mean,
when he
every episode.
When he was on this program a number of years ago. I said, I feel like people don't get credit for some of your people love to hold up. If you bring up Ben Roethlisberger, what's your opinion about the football player? What do you think about that guy? People will say, he's got lucky. You know, he was a passenger for Super Bowl 40. He didn't really do anything in that victory. And as he pointed out, and I, you know what? That he and I parked our cars in the same garage on that one, too. I said, I think your greatest postseason game was the AFC title game against Denver in January of 2006. He said, yeah, mm-hmm. That's the one. He said, that's the one. I said, well, then we agree on that seven. But listen, he's won two Super Bowls and been to three in his career. That ain't bad.
Phenomenal.
It's not bad, but when you got – right now, you got the best receiver in football, according to one and two here.
And the best running back.
And the best running back in football.
Hey,
number of great
defenses.
And you keep losing to Tom Brady. I just whose fault is it? It's somebody.
That's why it's not a coin flip between him and Rodgers.
That's what I was – it's like
– all right. I mean, listen, I'm not here to denigrate the king of the North, but I don't know if you're – yeah, it's easy to – you can knock down, should have been there. I should have gotten over more than that, but – Aaron Rodgers only has that one ring.
That's true. That's true. And
I've been to that one Super Bowl.
Ben is better than a lucky quarterback. He's an extremely talented, great quarterback. I just think that with Rodgers on that Steelers team, or throughout the same careers.
If I told you that Aaron Rodgers had the best receiver in football and the best running back in football for the last 4 years, do you think the situation would be different?
You know what? I hear you, and I do have to say TBD. And I don't mean – MVP, I don't like that. I don't like that they would have laughed like that.
That's kind of rude,
feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel – I'm not saying let's talk in 4 years. Let's talk in 4 months. Whatever, 6 months, however long it is until 53.
The Steelers are way better than the Packers this year.
Are the Steelers – The Steelers are way better than the Packers.
This year, I think so.
Did you hear what Tony Romo and James Jones and many and Greg Rosenthal and many others have said?
The Packers are
the team
all
is
I've
loaded.
Heard.
Second or third best team in the division.
But which are the two teams ahead of them? The Vikings?
Definitely.
And then the Lions?
I mean, Lions were fighting for a playoff spot.
I'm backing my car all the way out of this garage.
Look, you needed that's a take right there. I think the Steelers are they're a talented team. They're more talented than the Packers.
I think the Lions
adding Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham hasn't been Jimmy Graham in 5 years.
That's not the point. The point is that they added Muhammad Wilkerson and DBs on the back end there.
He gave up on the Jets. He wasn't as good as he was when he got.
It's about the rotation. If you have to be the cornerstone of a defensive front, maybe Wilkerson wasn't up to that. But when you're in the mix with Kenny Clark and Mike Daniels and beyond, now you're talking about a legitimate defense.
They just don't do it for me. I don't think the defense is legitimate. I think I'm still on the Vikings bandwagon, and I think the Lions. I think Stafford's another underrated guy. But in comparing them to the Steelers, I think the Steelers run away with the AFC North, and I think they're a clear cut top two seed.
Pains me to say this, but the Ravens are not going to be garbage this year.
Oh.
That little stretch is not going to last for much. Mediocrity is not going to last for much longer. Especially the big prediction, Martin Weiss, is that I would not be surprised. Dependent on how things shake out in training camps across Football America in August, but I would not be stunned if Joe Flacco is moved to a different team.
Oh, absolutely.
And Lamar Jackson begins, and if they start that era in at the start of 2018, consider me officially scared as a Steeler. Oh,
they're going to win if they trade Joe Flacco. The Steelers win the division by 3 games. Lock it up right now. Steelers AFC.
All right, I hope you're right. Yeah. Now listen,
I'm on your side.
I'm just all the way on the Lamar Jackson. I want him.
He's
going to
be great.
Play,
but not
immediately.
He's not going to threaten the division.
I want him. It makes me crazy.
Set the world on fire.
In the spring of 2018, after his career at Louisville, with lesser talent around him, and the games that he played against loaded college football powerhouses, the way he performed pretty consistently out there, the film you have on him, and that you can still have this dance, this rationalization about, like, I don't know, maybe he makes more sense as a receiver in the NFL, is loco. Yeah. You know, it really is that Ryan Tannehill would be a first-round draft pick. He's only played quarterback for a little while, but he's a great athlete, can run and everything. Yes, it was we're not going to have any conversation about anything other than Ryan Tannehill being definitely a first-round draft pick. But Lamar Jackson, wonder what the difference is.
I don't get how – that's never made sense to me. Like, if a guy played quarterback his whole way up, like, why? There's plenty of guys who play receiver their whole way up and can't play receiver in the NFL. So why would it be like this? Like,
you can switch his position in the hardest league in the world.
I think that's illogical. Yeah, like, to think that Tim Tebow could have been a tight end. There are positions.
Illogical
sure
logic.
Block.
I think you can read between the lines, but I mean, there are certain reasons, certain guys. Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson. I don't know about this guy.
Meanwhile, Watson and Lamar Jackson were like the two players that you would tune in to see. You would tune in to see watch play college football because they were so good.
If you watched like the last, I don't know, the first, whenever Watson got hurt, whenever Watson started to play, was that the third quarter or whatever, to week six or so,
however long he made it.
So Watson, Wentz, like, those are the guys who if I'm drafting right now, those are the guys who I would have wanted to have picked, right?
How many times do I say, I've said it over and over again, these scouts with it, listen, DJ and Bucky and the whole gang of scouts, that's fine. Oh yeah, Dave, you don't really understand what goes into it. All right, but you know what I do understand is watching games a lot.
That's what I'm good at.
I didn't see Deshaun Watson play for 20 minutes at Clemson. I watched him go up against the Tide. Sure. I watched him play through a tough ACC over and over again and thrive. What more do I need to see unless he's 5'6" or something like that? You know,
I don't
within a certain range. Of course, Deshaun Watson was going to be
Doesn't
a good NFL
sense.
QB.
No, Morgan, for me there. I mean, the guy played. He made Bama look, you know, silly, and that team was loaded with NFL talent. It's like, why couldn't you think this guy is going to step right in and be – and he was an MVP candidate until he got hurt.
He's no Mitch Trubisky, I'll tell you that. Okay, what else do you want to talk about here? Spaghetti, you choose something to kibitz about.
You want to keep it football? You want to
I
keep
don't care,
it,
whatever your pleasure. Dealer's choice. MVP, should I give it to you to choose?
No, I should give it to Spaghetti.
You hear the flow of the show, and you're really the one always taking the temperature.
Yeah, it's a lot of football.
Dr. VP. Too much football.
Too much football. All right,
it's a lot of football.
Okay. For summertime, where we're loose and everything.
Yeah, we're loose.
But you didn't think this was an engaging.
No, it was a good. It's good football talk. Just saying, it's a lot of football.
Too much football, though. We do more football.
You said that.
Okay.
I'm honored that MVP thought that the three things I brought here was good football.
So if we brought, so if I were to say, like, let's do a deep dive on the Tennessee Titans, you would say, no, that's
I'd probably
too much
run
football.
For the door. Yeah.
So instead, you want to do something else. Game of life.
Anything, yeah.
All right. Game of life it is. What do you want to talk about now?
Then we're involving Emma. We have a bone to pick with the people who like to game in public places, at bars, at establishments like that.
Like cell phone games on apps?
No, not cell phone games. We'd probably be fine with that. It's the board games. I know I don't want to offend you because in Studio 66 on the virtual wall we have a Connect Four, but lately there's been
we have an actual physical Connect Four in the studio too.
Oh, wow.
Anytime things get boring, MVP, break the glass and I'll four it up.
Yeah, so
you would be okay with people playing cell phone video games? I know there's a story involved, but I got to get this out before.
No, it's
would be okay with a group of people all at the bar playing
a group is weird. If it's an individual minding their own business.
Well, one person playing a board game is also weird.
Before you get into this engaging
what's
weird, a group of people doing stuff. Eddie Spaghetti, we had a weird conversation before. How did we even get into that? I don't remember what the conversation was.
Dan and Real Life, the movie.
But Eddie Spaghetti told us just before we began spinning here that he and a bunch of his pals, like 10 pals, went out to see Dan in Real Life, the Steve Carell weird movie that's about – I don't know really.
It's not the play I would have called.
It's
not the play I would have called.
Weird.
I have a great group of best friends. A lot of them listen to the show, and back in high school, there were certain guys, Steve Carell being one, Paul Rudd's another, a few guys that it's like anything they do, we're like, oh, we got to go see it because that person's great. And we went to go see Dan in Real Life, and it was. Well, it was not what we hoped for.
Were you in high school for like the 40-year-old virgin?
No. That was wild. That's super old. I'm only 26.
Oh.
I love Eddie Spaghetti and his gang of cinephiles, frat dude cinephiles. Hey, we gotta check out Carell. He's number one.
Yeah, that's
the top. Let's go see it.
That was
it's an art house film.
Yeah, but is it weird to go like 10, roll in like 10 guys like deep, or is it better to go alone? Like, what's weirder there?
Option C.
I could see.
I didn't need to see the movie to tell that it wasn't going to be Steve Carell's funniest
offer.
But in a general premise, if there was a movie that I would want to see, I would go by myself before I'd go with a group of 10 guys.
That's a mature.
I don't even think I can bring up a group of 10 guys to do anything.
I'm very lucky. I've been blessed with great
football,
friends, and
maybe?
I've kept them very
definitely
tight.
Definitely not baseball.
I see, that shows maturity on your part, Martin Weiss, because that is a decision that I came to in the last, 15, 20 years. I don't want to be saddled with other people's opinions when I'm trying to see something that I care about. I've gone to see bands many times by myself.
Same.
I don't want to
love that.
Be watching a band, enjoying it, and turn to that like, great, it's all right. Like, oh, now I'm in the spot of, well, am I supposed to suggest now that we leave early? Because
right.
I don't want to leave now, and I like to say I'll have a meal by myself. How about that?
No. No meals. Concerts, yes.
Dinner. I would never go to a fancy restaurant for dinner by myself.
A lunch or a breakfast, I guess.
I do all of these things by myself. I just haven't been to a concert.
A concert alone.
Well, I haven't been. I'm a concert by myself.
Unless you go the Die Hard, the concert alone is the way better move. Way better move. Because the other person brings the energy down.
Do you dance?
Kinda.
Have you been MVP to any show with Spaghetti where there's live music being played?
Not yet.
Does he do? I without ever having actually seen it, I can imagine Spaghetti like you don't do full on dancing.
No, no, no.
Right.
You're not
like
full on
bouncer.
Dancing guy.
Like a big.
I've been
up and down.
I've been on like the front rail before for like Queens of the Stone Age and Jack White alone, and I've moved.
Yeah.
I've gyrated a bit. I've kind of along with the music.
Uh-huh.
I've done that. But you go with the person who's not into it, whether it's either another friend or a girlfriend or something, and they're just kind of like, and they check their phone and they just bounce around, not really paying attention. I'm like, you've no idea what you're seeing right. Like, this is great stuff.
Well, then my question to you, my friend, Ed,
yeah,
is does your girlfriend or friends have bad taste in music? Or
no, most of, no. I mean, yeah, so my girlfriend
is
does.
It you or?
My girlfriend does, but to her credit, she agrees to come to the shows with me.
That's where your problem is, right there. Because see, that's where the movies by myself started. Is I started agreeing to go to movies, and now I'm paying twice to see a movie that is like damn in real life.
Now you got
to
get movie pass.
This is
now you go alone.
But I'm just saying, this is where it all started. Yeah. Now I'm buying two tickets.
This will sound. MVP won't like this because she's going to think that that somehow this is a female or that I'm denigrating or being misogynistic.
Let's do it.
All right. I just want to tell you. There is more in our society as it stands currently. There is more from the side of I want to do stuff with you. I want to be a part of your life and involved in the activities that you're interested in. More from women than is reciprocated. Is that fair?
Yes.
Like, it's not important to me that my significant other sit down and watch the Penguins in the playoffs with me. I'm not bummed out that's not her interest. She is bummed out. Like, why? I really want to go and see, you know, the Lion King is performing at whatever. I really would like to go there. Like, all right, I'd love to buy you a ticket and our little girl if you want to do that. Like, I won't be into it. Do you want me there when you know I'm not happy being there?
Yes, you'll like it.
I'm a bit of a spendthrift, and I don't mind spending money, but I don't like spending money when I'm not having a good time doing it.
I know what you mean.
Like,
yeah.
The first is coming. That's going to be painful. So after that, I'll go spend some money at the bar, make it up, right? So when it comes to, like, all of that type of stuff, if I'm dating a girl and she wants me to go do something, I have no qualms with going to do it if you just want me to be there. If you want me to be there and finance it, that's an entirely different scenario.
That's a good point. See, now I feel bad because Martin's a nicer mate than I am. Is that what we're hearing, MVP?
Yeah, you are.
Listen, I'm older than you. I've been through it more than you. I've attended more lame events than you have.
I can imagine. You should have stopped earlier.
Let me know when you get to my advanced age and you've been to not just a dozen, but you've been to four dozen lame things that you didn't want to go to. Hey, my friends are having a get-together. They're having a couple shower. Like, why do I have to do that? I will hate being there. And then you're going to be upset with me because I'm not engaging with everybody else. Like, oh, let's just avoid all that.
See, I feel like especially working here, you have a couple built in, like, well, I have to do this for work. And it's also stuff you already would have been doing for fun.
But yes, that's absolutely right. I have the built-in excuse. But you know what? It happens to be true. So I'm not lying when I say that.
We all have the same excuse, right, to a certain extent. So what I do in general is, like, I really gauge, do I have to watch this fourth quarter, this 30-10 game right now? Or can I just catch it up later on a game rewind and then make it seem like I'm taking a sacrifice?
I hear you. I'll tell you this.
I learned this lesson. Monday Night Football, Josh Freeman was starting for the Minnesota Vikings. And I was like, oh, I'm done.
That was a splendid era.
I don't want to watch this.
Was that before or after Joe Webb?
I think it was just like the same.
They had some nice run there with QBs. Yeah, listen, I hear you with the excuse, Megan, but I don't want to seem like a total creep of a person to live with. My children, what has really made me a much, much better parent than I would have been 20 years ago is the DVR. I will. That's my sacrifice. That's what I do for my children is –
On Father's Day, instead of spending 8 hours at the farmer's market drinking, you only spent six and spent the other two at home watching DVR.
Yeah, that's a long story. There's a story there. Okay, Spaghetti, go ahead with your game business.
So,
have you ever left a movie early?
No. That goes against my sensibility.
Can I tell you something?
If I can't get a refund, I'm staying.
We're getting to know Martin Weiss. I mean, there are certain recurring themes. I think that's one of the biggest claims. I don't know why people like to claim that. It's almost up there with I'm a great parallel Parker. People love to say, oh, that movie was so bad, I walked out halfway through. I don't think people walk out of movies as much as they claim to. MVP.
No, they don't. I've never walked out of a movie.
I've never seen it happen. If you're watching the crowd and you notice the person doesn't come back, I've never seen it. It's made up.
I'm kind of with you.
It's a pretty obnoxious move.
It is. You're there, you're there. Just suffer through it. Who cares?
Yeah, it's not that bad. It's a freaking movie.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like you picked it. Like, no one made you go.
Plus, yeah, if you don't have movie pass, like you said, you're spending
No one made me go.
I've never done it, but now I feel like I'm in a position I have to defend walking out of a movie. I have to sit there? Because I made the choice? Well, Dave, I hope you learn from this painful experience, this next 45 minutes.
Yeah, I'll put it like this. It's like if you buy a ticket to a game, and it's a blowout, and you leave early, and then all of a sudden the team starts coming back, and now you're like, damn, I really wish I hadn't left early. And that, like that could happen in any game, right? It could also happen in any movie.
That happens a ton. Like, I have a buddy that just left the Yankee game, and they came back and beat the Mariners, either, like, just an example, and you're like, oh, why'd I leave? Like, just don't leave.
Why'd I leave? I could have seen that great comeback.
That's team
that
dependent.
The worst.
If you're a Browns fan, you can probably get out of there when you're down.
Hey, but
touchdowns.
If you're a Browns fan, and that one of 16.
It'll haunt you forever.
Oh, you'll never be able to sleep again.
Mm-hmm. It's a great point, too, what you made about like when you're paying or something, like why are you going to leave?
You guys keep saying I make great points.
Well, yeah, a lot of great points. Yeah, all you. We should rename the show. If you pay money for a concert, if you pay money for a concert, and the people who
I'm going to walk out of this show,
they leave early to like beat the traffic to leave, but you're missing like the last two songs. Like, oh, it's just the encore songs. Like usually that's like they end with those songs for a reason because it's fun. The whole crowd's like together and like the lights are on and it's a great moment. You're like, oh, I got to get like you. First of all, you're going to get stuck in traffic anyway to leave the stadium, and then you're like. You're saving, what, 5-10 minutes max of your life, exactly. And you're missing, like, the pinnacle of the concert.
My old man.
I hate that.
My sister Amy and I had to spend years training the old man. Like, he would announce with 2 minutes left in games that were not decided, listen, we got to get out of here. It's going to be terrible traffic if we don't leave. Like, why'd we go through the whole thing for then? this is what it all amounts to. If we're at a hockey game and it's a 3-goal game and there's 90 seconds left, then we can walk.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
I don't mind getting like a head start. If it's a 3-0 hockey game, I'm walking. Yeah. I'm still going to watch it.
But
on
sports
TVs
is different. You can kind of
until you know. But
I don't know. I've never left a movie, but now I'm going to do it out of spite for all of you. All right,
let's finally get to it. So anyway, me, Emma, Tamposi, and a few, Brett, her fiance, my girlfriend, we were all in the town. It was like a summer solstice event in Santa Monica on Main Street. So
did you guys hug when you first saw each other that day?
No hugs. No, I did. Actually, when I left, I hugged her and
MVP.
Brett. I hugged her and Brett because they have a brand new beautiful apartment, and it's like a block from my favorite strip in Los Angeles, and it's great. I'm so happy for them. So I was like, you know what? I gave them a proper handshake, and I said, come here, guys, for inviting us over and for starting this. It's going to be so much fun. Like, they have a great place.
It was lovely, and we're glad we could do that for Eddie.
Yeah.
a three-way hug or two separate?
No, two separate. They each got their own hug.
Emma,
it's great. She got an apartment just so I could hang out in. But we went to this event all together, and later on the day, we went to like a bar, like a rooftop bar thing, and there's a giant Jenga. And we have a history, myself and Emma, with like Tamposi loves to play games. Like, we're at her apartment. Let's play Cards Against Humanity. Brett loves his family. He's a big gaming family. And me and Emma are like, let's just sit around.
He comes from a gaming family.
Yeah, it's a huge gaming family. And let's just sit around and, you know, my favorite game is like drink the beer. Let's just sit around and talk to each other and have good time. Our conversation is interesting enough. Sunday, we were all great conversations throughout the entire day. There was no reason to play a game. And we're in this bar and there's 20, 30 people with camera phones out, like watching this giant Jenga game, and they're screaming when it topples over. And I'm just like, that's what you do? You're going to come here to play a giant Jenga and film it? And like, it just boggles my mind. Yeah, it's insane.
It's embarrassment.
So we're out on games for good. Sorry.
Board games, though.
Jenga, the Connect Four, unfortunately. Cards Against Humanity, anything you do at a bar. Like, you don't – why do a separate activity at a bar? The activity is to go and socialize and to drink.
So one time I was in Denver, and I went to a bar, and every wall where there wasn't a bar – keep.
Yeah.
They had like Pac-Man and Galaga and
okay. Arcade games.
Arcade
are different. I think that's a different it's different. If you're sitting at a table with a game you could place on your table and with people, it's that's different than if you went to, say, there's a brewery here in Los Angeles where they have the arcade style thing. When you go there, you're almost like I'm going to play games. But I could also drink.
So could I not also be going? Well, I guess I could just do that in my living room.
Sure.
That would be your point.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am conflicted. I hear what you're getting at. You're saying you resent people that can't summon the power of good times
right.
on their own.
Right.
But, of course, you're also putting the big asterisk. I mean, of course, we have to have beer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
On some level, aren't you doing something else? You're aiding your good time with booze. That's your game, friend.
But I think that's the activity that we wanted. We went out for. We went out to.
I don't know. I'm just trying to shoot holes in your theory. That's fine.
But it's also a partially. You said your game is drink the beer, okay?
Yeah, as I'm making fun of. Yeah, they have to play Jenga.
I got you. But like, what if you made it so every time? Well, if this, I don't know, this weird looking guy over here with the red hat on, when he knocks over the Jenga, you got to finish your beer.
That, again, is like you have to have something. Why do you need something to stimulate?
It's not very nice, Martin. No, we wouldn't do that.
Okay.
I will say this. This may surprise you. The thing I don't like – and by the way, you're assuming because you have friends good enough that you hug them every time you see them and then say goodbye to them.
For the purchase of the apartment, but yeah.
Okay, but this is you guys enjoy each other. You have a fun little gang.
Yeah.
That you're living the high life out here in Southern California.
I guess you can call it that. Yeah.
I'm a schnook from the island. I'm from Staten Island, I'm out here.
I am an Islander, Atlantic Islander.
I'm a VP. I like it out here too. I came out here to be a fancy comedy writer.
Look at me now.
And now here I am. I'm not doing that.
Right?
I'm listening to this fat guy talk.
See, it's comments like that make me think Eddie Spaghetti is fat.
I was trying to be self-effacing, but in fact, yeah.
I got what you were saying, Dave.
I think we know who the elephant in the room is, literally and figuratively.
Yep.
If you're with B-minus people, a little Connect Four can, jazz up a dull thing, like some spicy mustard can help out a dull turkey sandwich, you see?
Yeah, I could agree with that. I think my response to that would be I just don't associate with B-minus people, or I wouldn't want to go out to the bar with B-minus people.
A-plus over here.
Like we are saying recently in the show.
Well, that's why you turned me down when I said, let's get a beer last month. Oh, I get it.
Well,
standard I did not read.
Last month? How long does that mental Rolodex go?
I just made that up.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Because he said I only hang out.
I won't hang out
with B-minus people.
Well, we have played Connect Four, but I was more just watching like a Hall of Fame Four player play in an exhibition. Like it was more about watching.
The GOAT, not Hall of Fame, the GOAT. Thank you.
But like for the most part, if we've gone out for a few belts, as you call them, like the conversation is always great. It's always a good, fun time, and there's never any thought of like, how this gonna get better? Let's play Cards Against Humanity and like focus on a game. Like it's just.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I am obviously a marvelous conversationalist and a lot of fun to hang out with. The thing I don't like is I've never enjoyed beer games. I never understood. Beer pong the cup and all that nonsense.
This is a bad take.
It's a bad take.
I hate them too, Dave.
What do we need
that's two bad takes.
I hate all games. So
what? You want to start taking stances again? I don't need games to have a good time. You need a game? I mean, what do you think, Kerouac? You think Bukowski was saying, hey. Where's that Monopoly? Well, I want to play ping pong. Where is that thing? What? What are you talking about? You don't need beer games to have fun.
No, you don't. But I would partake in those way before I'd partake in playing a giant Jenga.
I want to hear why Martin thinks that was a bad take on my part.
Well, I would play both types of games, but I just beer. If like I don't understand if you like to drink beer,
yeah,
like the people that you're with, and
okay.
If you like to play games, that seems like good math.
It takes away from the social aspect.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't like to play games.
You're not a gamer.
I don't get into the high-fiving everybody because they're on my team and they flip the cup more quick. I don't care. It just doesn't matter to me.
That gets boring. It gets boring, too. I'm with you on that.
I'm a curmudgeon.
Unnecessary anxiety for me.
Yeah, well, I like that that's true. That's probably
true.
It's definitely true.
Drinking games allow me my irrational confidence after two beers and then complete failure after eight. So
I'm competitive, it only goes so far. I mean, I'm competing to drink beer. I don't know if you heard the story. Spoiler alert, we're all going to drink beer anyway. What is this thing about, like, oh, I got the ping pong ball in the thing, blah, and I'll drink it. Like,
yeah, but it's
great. That's convenient because I was going to drink that beer anyway.
But I can throw this ping pong into this cup better than you can. So let's talk about it.
Okay. All right. That's fair. I'm not going to say it's a good point or even a great one. But anyway, all right. What do you think, MVP? Have we covered it all?
I think so.
You think we should stop?
We should get there, yeah.
You want to wrap it up here?
Yeah.
How long have we been spinning here?
54 minutes.
Oh, that's too much. That's far too much. What do you think? Do you have anything else you want to say?
Another thing I just did alone while on the topic, when I responded to his message, I was in the airport on the way back from a lone vacation.
Is that right? Yes. Where'd you go?
I was in Cabo.
No way!
Yeah, I was in Cabo. I was an accidental vegetarian when I was in Cabo because I stayed in – it was my first time ever at an all-inclusive. And so the food was not
– Wasn't good.
Yeah, it was
I wouldn't
bad.
Think it would be good. Do you have a lady friend?
No.
Oh, so you went alone.
I did. Working towards the lady friend. But I also wanted to just go alone because
– I love it.
You got to do things by yourself because – what if you don't have a lady friend?
Why? Right. Yeah, you don't need that.
Yeah.
That's right. So. That's a wonderful take. I think we should leave it there. What do you think, MVP?
I would never go on a vacation by myself. But I think that's really funny.
I mean, on the topic of things that we do alone.
I've never done a vacation by myself, but I admire doing it. And I don't know, like now I certainly could. It'd be funny if I announced, hey, I'm going to, hey, Cabo, I just booked a flight for Cabo. Wait, whoa, I got to work. Don't worry. See, you're not coming.
I know we're supposed to get out of here, but I have a question for you, MVP. You said you'll never book a vacation by yourself, but what if you have 2 weeks off work and you're just going to just sit here by alone in LA and not?
LA is not so bad.
You should see her apartment.
Yeah, it's a good
I hear it's
a nice
great.
Apartment, yeah.
But I'm just saying, you don't have places that you want to go in the world at a certain point in time?
Not by myself, no. I'd probably go visit my family or, you know, just go down to the beach.
The shore house.
Yeah. Go down the shore.
The thing that, by the way, I was talking about with Corolla last week is the other day is I can't to your point about paying for two people to go.
Did you imagine if I paid for another person to go on this Cabo trip?
How
had
many
a worse
people,
time?
What the weirdest move is, how do you compel – I'm a soccer fan, and I'm from Colombia. You know, I love soccer. Here's what I have the time to do. Take off. I can take off a week. I can afford a flight and accommodations in Russia so I can go watch a soccer game. Then you bring someone with you on top of all that. I am just stunned when I look at the World Cup up in Russia and I see all the fans from around the world. How are there that many people with that much money and time to fly up to go and see the World Cup? Isn't that weird?
I don't think they work. I was talking to somebody last night who just came back from like Madrid, and he was like, yeah, every day, like 1:30, everyone stops working and does these like hour-long like lunches, and like they drink a bunch of beer.
I get it, but wait, if you and your significant other were like, yeah, I'll pay for our airfare to St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
What? Who has that kind of money to do know. That stuff?
I just wonder what it costs to – I don't know what it – I know it costs like $500 to fly from here to Pittsburgh. And it costs like $500 to fly to here to like the Dominican Republic.
It's got to be $2,000,
right? I can't imagine. Flight
and who wants to? How important is it to you to go up there, fly up to – it just seems like a big –
4 years to save up.
How much it is to fly from like Ghana to St. Petersburg, Russia. I have no idea.
I just can't get over
– That's passion.
By the nation of all the teams there, they all have – Not six. I mean, if there were like six people there from whatever country, it'd be one thing. They all have these huge fan bases show up. Where did they all come from? It's amazing.
Probably that country.
That's my point.
It's the best take today.
All right, MVP. Did you think this went all right?
Yeah, I'm a fan.
You are a fan.
Yep.
Who do you like better, Spaghetti or Martin Weiss?
Definitely Martin.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
All right, because he doesn't hug you at the every time he sees you.
Right,
has some dignity, has some honor. All right, so we'll wrap it up there then. And I do encourage you again, and no demand, you go back and listen to the Reggie Wayne and James Jones episode as well. In fact, go back from the Super Bowl to now. Our run is historic.
A-plus.
Legendary.
That's
maybe it's not a DiMaggio-style streak because maybe there was one episode that wasn't that great somewhere in the middle there. But I think the bulk of work has been just gangbusters. Thanks in part to MVP and Eddie Spaghetti, and also to – I wasn't going to get there, so I didn't even try. I thought you might stop the music and give me the chance to say what I have to say. MVP has been a big part in this run that the DDFP is on. The off season? No, that's Damashek's season. Eddie Spaghetti, great work coming from behind the glass out here. Martin Weiss, come back anytime. Wait, now we're gonna have to do it again one more time because I didn't. Well, because people should be allowed to find them on social media. Martin Weiss, what's your Twitter?
It's @_MartinWeiss.
Okay.
WEISS.
And what about Instagram?
Same thing.
Really?
I'm easy across the board, man.
My Twitter is Edward L. Murphy.
And MVP is at MVP now, right?
The MVP.
The MVP. Check her out on the broadcast. Talk to you next week. It's been a Thin Slice of Heaven.